Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the middle of all the... Right? And to get that win, you felt so good, too, for the folks that had made the trip down, come out of there out of Tallahassee. And it sounds like even having some verbal jabs thrown their way maybe early on, they withstood it all. And the fans get the win as well. And so we'll certainly be talking Memphis football today. College football in general. You know, saw some things I expected to see. Saw some things I didn't. Georgia had to escape.
Yeah.
Tell you that. Vols and Ole Miss continue to be dominant, both of them. And they will obviously be on to stiffer tests. So we will be talking some college football, certainly. Mississippi State, I'll let Brad address that. John might do that as well. I'll leave that for you
guys.
Yeah.
It's painful.
They're in a tough spot right now. And then... yesterday, I look up, and I say, you know what? There might be hope for my Bears against the Houston Texans, you know, as huge underdogs. You know why? Because the NFL was wacky yesterday.
That it was.
It was absolutely wacky. You look up, and God bless them, John's Raiders are winning. they're beating the Ravens. What else? Yeah, you had Bucks over Lions, which I didn't expect. Not as much of a...
Yeah, they were 7.5-point dogs.
Vikings over 49ers?
Yeah, 5-point dogs.
What happened to my Cowboys?
6-point favorites.
That one happened at home, right?
Yeah.
Got the doors blown off us. And I say it because they're my other team. I had adopted them in the East. My Cowboys, oh, man, we got punished.
Derek Carr was doing the Michael Jackson crotch hold in the end zone.
I saw that.
Yeah.
He had maybe the best game of his career.
Yeah. He's having, dude, I saw a stat. They have 15 drives, 15 scores.
Wow.
This season.
So no turnovers.
No turnovers. All scores. I think that means field goals, too, but all.
Now, they were all business after their week one win. I wonder just now if it'll start to go to their heads.
Question.
I saw a little bit of party time in the locker room afterwards.
No doubt. Yes.
So we'll see how they handle success. But you know what I'm not going to do is disrespect the Saints.
Can't.
Because this doesn't look like a fluke anymore.
Eagles at home.
It absolutely does not look like a fluke anymore.
Next week.
Lot to get to. You know what, too? I want to address on that. John and I, we've agreed we're going to have a code word. We're going to have a code word.
A safe word.
A safe word when things may be headed for a boil over or when it's getting red. You know,
That's right.
And so maybe today we'll figure out, because we've agreed we should have one.
That's
we'll figure out what that code word should be. Should it be Silverfield?
Pineapple? I don't know.
Should it be Blitz?
Right.
Because that's what we should have been saying to Caleb Williams all night long. Good Lord.
Yeah, that's
my true team is the Bears, and y'all saw that.
I'm gonna blame the. I told you this when you walked in today. I told you I'm gonna put that one on the O line. I mean, how can you expect the rookie quarterback to look comfortable back there when he's got somebody in his grill every snap? I mean,
that didn't look too much different than what we were allowing to happen to Justin Fields a couple of years
100%,
ago.
100%. And he was getting the ball out quick. Collinsworth was remarking about it. He was like,
early on.
He said, I did not think he would get it this quickly. He said, I expected it to take him till week 10 to adjust to this. But his offensive line just let him down. They really did.
Some of it.
Yeah. I mean, he got greedy with those picks, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. You expected that from him coming into this year. Mm-hmm. It's part of the growth process. But
I don't think his OC's doing him any favors either. Shane Waldron, and we bought over from Seattle and was sort of a, I remember after the Bears had flirted with Kingsbury and they come in with Shane Waldron, who'd been okay as Seattle's OC, kind of McVay ties or whatever. I'm not sold on him either. Anyway, we don't need to lament the Bears' loss. That was circled as an L.
It was.
Frankly, you look at it and you say, you know, you shouldn't have any business being within six of them.
That's right.
To end that game. Bears got some defense, we know. I still say Texans contenders. Them
no
boys
question.
On both sides of the ball are rough.
And that
weapons,
was
weapons hitters.
That was a mediocre CJ game. I mean, he looked
1,000%.
Great. He looked great in the first half. You guys locked up in the second half. He can be better than that.
They are a contender.
Yeah.
I think true contender.
You got to put them in that category.
Yeah.
I mean, because Look, Bengals Chiefs was a classic, but it's like, who's going to take down Mahomes? You know, maybe if T. Higgins is in that game and you have a little bit more firepower, it's different. But, I mean, Burrow turns the ball over late, you know, and that's really the kind of the difference with the fumble that went for a score.
Was there not a point in that game where Jamar, though, and running his mouth cost them a chance, didn't have to settle for a field goal in that drive?
Yes.
And I just wonder, for a guy, again, who had – I mean, Burrow was having to grab him. He had got to a point, I guess he's cursing officials. But you just wonder, okay, could that drive have – you know, that set them back. You end up having to kick a field goal there.
Yep.
This guy that's talking, saying, we're the team to beat coming into the game.
Yep.
And what do the Chiefs do? They outclass you
in
the end. I know we can put it on Burrow and everything else, and he's got to be better. But I just thought, for a guy, Jamar Chase, who acts like, right, he's arrived, you saw sort of the next level of professionalism. That's what the Chiefs don't need to run their mouths.
That's
They'll
right.
just find a way to beat you if you give
that's
it to
right.
them. And they did since I gave it to them.
We'll talk to Jason Fitz about all that at 1:25. Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock as usual. But without further ado, Memphis football goes on the road as a 6.5-point underdog, ascribed absolutely inaccurately a 5% chance to win this game by me. And not only do they win the game, not only do they go down to Tallahassee, get the $1.3 million check and win the game, they do so in a way where there was really never any doubt. It was an absolutely undisputed wire-to-wire win for Memphis football on the road in Tallahassee. I mean, you just never felt like DJ Uiagalelei was going to do enough. You never felt like this Memphis defense was going to let that happen. Silverfield goes for the 4th-and-3 in Florida State territory.
Played to win all day. I got to hand it.
Or maybe that was actually in Memphis territory, right? I think that might have actually been closer to Memphis territory than Florida State. But rather than punt it back, you know, he said, I'm going to take the game into my own hands, up 8. And I got to tell you, I didn't think Silverfield had that in him. I didn't think he had that dog in him, but he showed that he's moving different. He's moving different in 2024. And really, Jason, I think the biggest question was, this Memphis defense, is it real?
Mm-hmm.
Is the new scheme and the new players they brought in, is it real? And I think, yes, there's some ineptitude that Florida State has to answer for, but that Memphis defense coming out and getting a turnover on the first drive of the game.
Off the whim.
I mean, I think they answered that question unequivocally, that this is, in fact, a different defense this year.
Yeah, they've jumped 30 spots in the SP Plus rankings since they started the year. SP Plus, for those not familiar, essentially the Ken Palm of college football, you know, efficiency measurements. Bill Connelly does it over at ESPN. And remember, before the season, he was essentially saying, you are what you were last year.
Right.
I think Memphis was 109, 110. And then this is, again, an efficiency ranking. You can pick whatever stat, you know, scoring, defense, whatever. It was all bad for Memphis last year. And we said it didn't have to be great or even the best defense in the AAC, but what we said is you can't be bottom feeder like you were. And they've jumped now 30 spots from 103 to 73. And John's right. I mean, they needed to show it, right, against a couple of levels up, against an ACC team, sure, that's struggling. But after doing it against North Alabama and Troy, you wanted to see it continue. I will say this. Elijah Herring was not out there.
He was not.
Elijah Herring, all he's been is a tackle machine for them. He's not out there, and you get that performance from that defense. Arguably, I'll say this because I don't want to disrespect the man that's already been here. Arguably, Elijah Herring, your best defensive player. You could make a case that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who it is, you'd be disrespecting. You said Chandler Martin, who was out there, had 2.5 tackles for loss, another sack. And this guy right here, first team All-AAC last year on a bad defense, said, we're going to be better. And he is leading them. And there you are against an ACC team,
yep,
holding them to 37 rushing yards,
yep,
and showing the rest of the country, us here in Memphis, that stuff you said about working in the dark this offseason, come out. Oh, you were serious. You were dead serious. Memphis went out and they made some they went out and got additions, Elijah Herrings, Kobe Miners, and everything else. Elijah wasn't there, and you still got that kind of performance from them.
That's amazing.
Shout out to Jordan Hankins, what he's done since becoming the defensive coordinator, essentially before the Iowa State game.
Yeah.
Because we basically gave him the job after that performance. Ryan Silverfield, like he said, he did his due diligence, interviewed other candidates. This guy has been tremendous, and he's brought an entirely different attitude on that side of the ball. John was right last week. We couldn't be convinced that this was an improved Memphis defense. You know, your eyeballs might have said that. Seeing the linebackers fly around might have said it. But I think we know it now after that performance. You had them discombobulated. If four sacks, 37 rushing yards,
yep.
shut down, like you said, turnover on the first drive.
Yep.
That they set the tone.
They did.
And right now they're frankly carrying you. You know, for an offense that we all believe is still top 10, you've dropped a couple of spots, though, offensively in terms yeah. of efficiency. Really, it's defense right now that's leading this team.
Yeah, Florida State outgained Memphis in the second half, offensively in terms of that. I mean, obviously they were chasing, so, sure. You know, a little different in terms of the game state. But what we said coming into this year is that Memphis' defense just had to be better. It didn't have to be great. It just had to be better than what it was last year. And if that is the case, then this team will have a chance to win the AAC, to win the conference championship, and go to the playoff.
Well, we said.
And right now, you know, you're saying, what number are they on SP Plus?
73.
73
at SP
Plus. They were
103 3 games ago.
So GameOnPaper.com, which takes into account a number of things. I mean, it's basically just another variation, like you said. They've got Memphis 50 when taken into consideration EPA per play, right? So, I mean, that's a dream spot.
This is the kind of jump we said they needed to have.
And this is now with an ACC opponent, like you said.
Correct.
It's not just North Alabama and Troy in the back of quarterback. I mean, we're now getting into categories where it's like, you know, you can't really deny the progress, right? And look, they have a tough one on Saturday against Navy, and, you know, it always is. But it's just impossible to ignore the improvement. And obviously, I think you're right. It starts with Hankins and the job they did in the portal, you know. Kobe Miner, Elijah Herring. The development of Chandler Martin, I mean, it's all coming together for
yeah,
Memphis.
To get the going. I mean, it's one thing to be able to go out and get the Elijah Herrings from Tennessee, led them in tackles, but to get a Chandler Martin a couple of years ago, it is. It's a credit to Silverfield.
Yep.
And it's not just having NIL, being able to go get guys that were a level up from
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Chandler Martin comes from East Tennessee State. He's yours. You develop him.
Yep.
This guy now is leading this defense. Again, to do that without Elijah yesterday, on Saturday, so impressive. You controlled it. 2 of 12 on third down attempts, Florida State was. I mean, you had Mike Norvell team looking incompetent. You had them where they were dropping balls, usually routine plays.
Absolutely.
Why? Because they were shook up.
They were.
Because this stuff Hankins is throwing at them with the different formations and the his willingness to come after you and blitz you. And it's like, who cares? We're going to play it like Silverfield, like we're going for it on fourth down. I mean, you had that attitude defensively. There was an attack mode. And how come you can't run the table in the AAC with a defense that's this improved? And, John, maybe one good enough to keep climbing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, right now you're 73 in the country.
Yep.
It's a 30-spot improvement from last year, but they're showing signs that they could be a dominant defense, especially in this conference, coming off a performance like that. So, you cannot say enough good things. I saw you tweeted that Inside Track, and I know we had Gabe on last week, that everybody's saying, you know, Inside Track for Memphis for the Group of Five. And I think that's probably correct, although it feels like the – you know, certainly the AP poll doesn't doesn't believe as much. It would certainly say it's, you know, Northern Illinois with their win. Here, you and I don't believe Northern Illinois has the same chances of winning their conference
right.
that Memphis does. And so that's why I'd agree with you
right.
that you'd have the inside track right now over UNI, Boise State. It's a huge win for all of it. But what it really, I think for me, bottom lining it, it makes you makes you feel real good, right, about feeling like you've got an effective enough defense.
Yeah.
And the kind of offense, at least enough you expected that, hey, man, go run the table.
Yeah.
And the AAC.
Well, that's what I'm
not saying it's going to be easy all of a sudden.
Right.
I mean, you will in some ways become, you know, hunted.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way around it.
You know, you got the mark. You got the X on your back now, you know, being 3-0 at this point in the season as that. You're the team now that if we knock off, okay, well, they're the leader for the Group of Five spot.
Yeah, and the reason why I say they are the
South Florida, all those other teams will know that coming in.
They have the inside track because it's a bigger picture statement, right? Because as we talked about, Northern Illinois has to play NC State there, so they're going to be a bigger underdog to somebody the rest of the way, far more than you, right? Like, I mean, Memphis might be a dog twice. The rest of the year, maybe twice, and I'm saying at South Florida and at Tulane. I don't think there'll be a dog the rest of the way. And USF, they may not be. I mean, I gotta check on that. And Tulane, you know, Tulane's just getting beat up. I mean, they're playing Power Four opponents every week now.
I thought that was a possibility.
Now they got to play an in-state rival in Louisiana. You know, that's gonna be a close game. I mean, it's a 3.5 number. So. You know, I think you're kind of going to benefit here a little bit You know, I mean, I think you might be minus one over Tulane. So, like, if we're just using Sagarin ratings here, Memphis will be favored in every game the rest of the way. I mean, that's just.
I mean, South Florida's got defense ranked 108th in the country.
Yeah,
so we love their offense, but defensively they're like you were last year.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, Sagarin has Memphis 77.2. South Florida 71. We'll give them 3 for home field. Memphis might be -3 at USF. Tulane, Sagarin rating of 73. Again, 3-4 home field. That still puts Memphis at about -1, -1.5. So there's a very high likelihood.
Yeah, favor the rest of the world.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that they'll close that way or whatever the case may be, but.
Oh, that's a good chance.
You know, that's the difference between Memphis and Northern Illinois. Is that that's not, you cannot say that about Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois is going to be an underdog on the 28th. They're going to be, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they're at against Bowling Green, at Bowling Green, which played Penn State very closely a couple weeks ago. You know, it's just, you know, they're at Miami, Ohio. Like, there's just all these MAC teams that, you know, are pretty even. So I just think that's why I say, and there's not a new market out for it yet. I mean,
well, they got to worry about Toledo.
Right, exactly. I mean, Toledo just beat Mississippi State.
That's who
Northern
Illinois got to worry about in their own conference.
Yeah, like what Memphis did 100% this weekend, what we know without a shadow of a doubt they did, they jumped Boise State. They jumped Boise State.
Yeah, I thought, even though, the voters don't think so, I still think a win over Florida State on the road.
Yes.
That beats out a close loss to Oregon.
You're undefeated. They have a loss. I mean, it's just.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean,
yours is not some simp, and I realize that's not the usual Florida State, but that's an ACC team that you went down on the road and beat.
And as a 6.5-point underdog.
As a 6.5-point underdog, I'm just looking at it from the committee's eyes. You have to value that more than you do a Boise State close loss to.
Absolutely.
An Oregon team that, yes, looks like it's better than Florida State, but come on, man.
They lost.
One's a W, one's an L.
That's, I mean, it's just
what
really,
it should boil down to.
It should. I mean, if it all plays out, you know, like the way we
but
hope.
It never plays out typically that way.
No,
hopefully,
it doesn't.
Hopefully it's that, you know, it's that simple that we're just talking about a zero on the right side for Memphis. But
right.
Those are still going to be, you know, and each one in a way, John, becomes tougher as you.
It does.
Especially with this undefeated.
I mean, it's a lot to ask a team to go undefeated.
Let's be real. We had circled that as an L.
Right.
You know, whether it was before the season or even some of us with the, you know, how desperate a situation this would be for Memphis. Even disagreeing with you that it was a 5% chance that I think Memphis is going to go down there and do what they did, no.
Right.
I think they had a chance, yeah, a little bit, you know, had a little bit more confidence. That said, I thought that was an L, too.
Yep.
Especially with, I mean, look at what happened after the game. I mean, Mike Norvell, those folks are ready to fire him. Just
awful.
In terms of the fans and everything else, they turned the fire alarm on him and everything else. It was hard to watch for me. And guys, I know, again, it's a win, but, you know, Mike goes out of his way to schedule you, you know?
Exactly.
Like, how can we not feel for...
No, I feel you on that, bro. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
he
didn't have to schedule you.
No.
There are other Memphis coaches that have left that didn't put you on the schedule. Like,
exactly.
That's a great thing from your former coach. That dude is part of you. Then you get paid for it. Let's be real, $1.3 million, you go down there and beat him. They're hitting the fire alarm on him during the presser. I don't know. Couldn't happen literally to in this case, I mean it. Like, this is a good guy here. I hated to see it for him, but... Man, those guys were dropping routine plays, that screens that were right there, receiver, I mean, the running back just dropping. It's crazy how much they've just dropped the baton at this point on him.
Yeah.
I think it just feels like it's all going to heck for him this year now.
It is.
We said if he goes to 0-3,
I mean,
the other schools start calling for your players. You know, the poachers come in.
It looks bad.
There you're going to have guys that just want to transfer whether other schools are calling or not. Yeah,
people, I don't see
people
many...
checking his buyout numbers, everything else, and while am I wrong? It feels like Florida's about ready to buy it to do theirs on Napier. I don't think we look at
$63 million. I mean,
they're not going to do that.
They just
right?
paid Willie Taggart $20 million in 2019, so that'd be $85 million in buyouts in the last five years. Plus, you got to pay another coach.
He'd get him out of it. I believe in Mike. Mike get him out of it.
But it's going to be rough, though, because, I mean, I'm seeing maybe – I mean, they're not going to a bowl. There's no doubt about that. You know, do they get 4 wins? I mean, they got Cal next weekend. You know, I guess I'll give them that one. But
– were you surprised that he stood with DJ as long as he did?
Shocked. Shocked. After that, I don't know, there was some drive in the second quarter, you know, and maybe it was after the pick. Maybe it was after that horrendous pick that he threw. I just thought – there's no
It was after the pick.
Yeah, like, it can't get worse.
He just threw a balloon up in the air.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, he got hit. No, that was a terrible throw. It was a terrible decision. Didn't have a prayer. And then he had some throws that were like NFL throws. It was very strange. But, yeah, after that pick, we were all sitting around. We're like, yo, like, how is it not Brock Glenn time right now? Because you need help. I mean, you need somebody out there that can, you know, because they were almost scared. It was all like bubble screens and stuff on the side and runs, and it was like they didn't want to go downfield with him.
Right.
And if you're gonna cut your playbook in half like that, aren't you better off just going with the guy behind him?
Yeah, especially just for the. I know a lot of times you get in a situation like that, and the team starts to believe this is the wrong guy. And
absolutely.
So just even if the next guy isn't, if Brock isn't the right, but just having the change in there sort of a lot of times can be a lift for you.
Yeah.
Guys get behind him, want to help him out.
He's getting so hit just, back there.
Just surprised they didn't try to make the switch. It looks like half that team's given up on DJ as the QB.
Yeah, because quite honestly, and we saw this with Memphis basketball, a sunk cost is a sunk cost, mm-hmm. no matter what. Like, if you paid the NIL, whatever the case may be, it is what it is. You got to do what's best for your team at that point.
Well, yeah, salvage. Salvage the rest of this year, but also get him ready for next year because you can't be doing this again next season.
Exactly.
So, to your point, sunk cost. Sooner you get Glenn in there, find out what he is.
Yeah, make the best of a bad situation.
And so you've got him prepared for next year or fighting against another transfer. But, hey, there's the danger of going out and picking the transfer portal guy that looks good to you, bringing him in here for 1 year.
Well, they didn't want to pay Cam Ward, is what I learned over the weekend, is that the collective – didn't want to spend the money.
Well, he was the one to get.
And now he's got Miami. Some people think Miami is the best team in the country.
Some people say Cam's the leader for Heisman, is he not?
Yeah,
I don't know about what the books say. I know he's got to be up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, Quinn,
he's been unbelievable.
Hurt, you know, so
but the guy has played, like, I have a hard time there. He played like 9 years of college football or something crazy like that.
Yeah, no, he's been there for a while.
He's literally a professional.
But, I mean, so is DJ, you know? So it's like we know what he is at this point. And so what are we waiting on? What are we waiting for?
Well, it doesn't make any sense why DJ doesn't look more experienced as long as he's been in. He looks...
It was awful.
A lot of times like a duck out of water. Then weirdly, you see a couple NFL type throws out of him.
Yeah.
And you say, I can work with this guy. That is not a... I would have moved on during that game if I was Norvell.
Yeah.
And I thought I saw a sort of an interaction on the sideline that was kind of like, man, if we, you know... Maybe that's what he was saying. If we lose this one, it's over for you. You're done. I'm giving you this one. We're done.
Right. Now, I do have some bad news for you. The season's not over. They got to play again this weekend against Navy.
Not bad news for me.
And our friends at Right Angle have released Navy plus 10.5. And the reason why, I think it makes sense, right? Like, Navy is pretty much the worst opponent to play off a win like this because they just play that disciplined style. So this is, to me, this game is like, in some ways, even more of a test than Florida State, because it's like, how do you handle the high, right? Because if you can handle Navy now and you can take care of business against Navy, then I'm like, no weapon formed against Memphis shall prosper, because you've ridden the highs, you've come back down, you've done your job. I mean, we've seen Navy in the past, different staff, different quarterback, all that. But we've seen Navy pour cold water on a Memphis football season before.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in 2015. It wasn't right after they beat Ole Miss, but it was 2 weeks after they beat Ole Miss. And so this is a you know, and I think that's the key. And I'm sure Silverfield is saying it. Listen, this Navy team could have beaten us last year. They were driving down four with the ball with under a minute left, and they got stopped at Memphis 20 or whatever it was. I mean, and they're better this year. So, you know, you can't come into this game, you know, not suspecting that and not expecting whatever their best is. So I think, to me, it's just it's crazy. I mean, every week's going to be like that, though.
Well,
like you said.
I mean, exactly. That's what Marcus Freeman needed to be telling Notre Dame when before they play UNI, is that now that, you know, we can literally lose it all right back. Everything we gained from this 3-0 start beating Florida State, where we feel inside track on Group of Five representing college football playoff, we can give it all back with loss to Navy. I mean, that's all you need to really tell them.
Exactly.
And it can happen, to your point, because of what they run. I will say this, the status of Elijah Herring, that would matter a lot to me.
That's true.
In this game. Now,
yeah.
He, again, did not play in this previous game, had been all over the field previously. What the nature of that, you know, I'm not super familiar with how serious an injury he's got there. That was a little bit of a surprise. We didn't discuss during the week them not having Elijah Herring. And so hopefully this is something that just popped up and it's going to be a one-game thing. If you've got him for Navy, and I know Chandler Martin's going to show up. It doesn't matter what kind of condition he is. Last year he played with a shoulder injury a whole damn season. Absolute stud out there. But having him back, right, and back in that defensive lineup, if you've got him next week, I feel a lot better about, again, Navy not allowing a style and the fact that you're going to have to play some discipline, defense, and football, you know, not allowing that to throw me off course here.
Yeah.
So I got Elijah back in there. I'm feeling fresh again. Hopefully that's the case. I'd be interested to hear this week what the prognosis is on him. Hopefully they can have him.
No, I agree with that totally. And I don't recall hearing anything during the week about his status at all.
No, it popped up at the end.
So did we get clarity on that afterward?
Not that I know of. Yeah. I didn't read the gamer or what had happened with Elijah afterwards. I just saw the defensive stats, the 2 of 12 third down. But I'm hoping, because no one's talked about this, this is not a serious injury.
Yeah, Silverfield said we just didn't think it was at the point where he was able to play. So again, I don't know.
Stopped looking because but Silverfield gives you so little.
Yeah.
On the nature of injuries, and maybe, properly so. That's kind of the way it's handled these days in most of college athletics.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty murky on what these guys have got. I'm still not clear on Sutton, but we know he's gone for the season.
Well,
at one point there was an issue, now there's not. He's out for the season.
Right. As it progresses, we will understand more.
Well, we do. He understands now, apparently, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, hopefully this is not a deal where it's lingering and you've got mystery surrounding Elijah Herring all season long. Because if you got him on a defense yesterday that was just 12 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
4 sacks, 12 tackles for loss.
They were amazing.
This is not just a solid defense. This is turning into a good defense that could be dominant in the AAC. Period.
They were awesome. And look.
Like, Hankins, man.
People were,
got these folks eaten on defense. They are.
What's his background? Like, where'd he come from?
Jordan Hankins.
He came from UT Martin. Is that where he got hired from? That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a stud. I mean, I was seeing people basically say that Jordan Hankins was staring down the Florida State offense in that fourth quarter. Like, he was just staring.
Yeah, they're like blitzing
down
on Hail Marys.
Yeah, man.
Now, who does that?
Yeah.
He's a madman.
He came over from Marshall. Came over from Marshall. That's exactly where that's when he was hired, where he was hired from. I mean, it's kind of amazing how this stuff works. I mean, he was not supposed to be the DC, right?
His linebacker's coach was not.
And didn't the DC leave, or he was the interim for the Iowa State game, and then didn't they hire some other dude that was going to be like assistant defensive coordinator, and then he left for Michigan?
That's right. He's going to be a defensive line coach, that's right.
Esposito.
The former Tiger.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he left, and then that created basically the opening, so to speak, for Jordan.
Were they going to do a co-defense coordinator thing and stuff like that?
Well, do they still have that, or is it just Jordan?
I'm pretty sure it's just Jordan once your man left.
I don't believe in co-coordinators. I think you should just pick one.
They got the right one.
But there's no doubt about that. He's awesome, and he's going to be getting opportunities. I mean, we have a whole season to go here, but he's going to get a big raise.
Bro, look at his linebackers.
I mean,
they fly. Now you're giving them the whole defense. Looks like the whole dang thing's flying now. I mean, right off the wham, you're getting a hit. You're putting your helmet on the ball and getting a fumble. 3 turnovers they forced. Very impressive effort.
Yeah.
And offense, I think you're 12th, 13th now.
Yeah.
As opposed to 10th, 9th. But you did what you had to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, the offense
was as explosive as last year. No,
it doesn't feel the same, but maybe it doesn't have to be the same.
You tell me. I mean, are they saving stuff or what, or is that just an offense that's not as explosive as it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also possible that was like just an ACC, like that defense turned up, right? I mean, that's where the desperation was on the Florida State defense.
I mean, that's 2 out of 3 games you've had no run game.
Yeah. Not great.
So, and what's bad, okay, Florida State, you understand it.
Uh-huh.
But that was also the case against North Alabama. You only 2.3 a carry.
Yeah.
So what do I have here? Because you've seen more bad run game than
you've seen
good run game.
That's right.
Need to, figure that out against Navy and Middle Tennessee before you get to South Florida.
It's kind of weird because, like, in some ways, you still don't have an accurate gauge because Troy and North Alabama are too far under your class, right? And then you have the Power 5 defense that you're up against who's not really a fair – I mean, maybe people want to say it's a fair comparison, but, I mean, it's really not. I mean, you're supposed to sort of gauge yourself against your conference, right?
Yes.
And we don't have that yet.
No, 2.3 a carry against North Alabama, scary. Now it's 2 out of 3 games that we haven't had a run game.
No, I mean, it's –
Mario was good against Troy, but
– Yeah. You know, I'm sure that's got to be an emphasis now, is figuring out what's the diagnosis and why we can't do this.
Now, they had a lot on their plate just in terms of trying to protect Seth, too. You know, that offensive line going against Florida State is obviously a step up. But, things could not be looking better.
No question.
For Memphis football to be at 3-0 at this juncture of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people predicted this. Anthony Sain, I guess, did.
He was all over it. He's all over it.
He said it before Florida State dropped. So he was super convicted.
Super.
He thought they would be undefeated Florida State, I think, essentially. Just figured this was the year. Turns out Sain's prediction was correct.
Absolutely right. So, yeah, look, usually like Caesars would have like a to make the playoff market, right? And they haven't updated it since the weekend's games. I didn't see one on FanDuel. I was looking. Maybe I just missed it. But I'm just expecting Memphis to be the favorite. You know, it won't be a minus sign or anything like that because Liberty's still an issue. Would be, again, undefeated. You know, Boise, if they run the table, UNLV has entered the discussion. Mm-hmm. They beat Kansas as a 9-point underdog, you know, on Friday night. So you are, but again, UNLV and Boise play each other.
Correct.
So one of those teams is
Northern Illinois plays Toledo. Like these things can get figured out in those conferences.
Right. I mean, you know, and Memphis has to play, you know, well, there's really not a group of five. I mean, there's not a contender anymore. In the AAC, other than Memphis, for that spot. I mean, Tulane's got two L's now. UTSA's got two L's now. I mean, if you want to say USF.
If you wanted to say USF just because they've only got the one loss.
But, right. I mean.
And they'd have to run it.
Yeah, they'd have to run it. They really would. And
do they not have anybody else?
They got Miami. Loss?
That's what I thought.
So they're going to have two L's, bro. I mean, they're 17.5.
Not beating Miami.
Yeah, so, I mean.
If they did, though, obviously there would be your other contender. But to your point, that's not going to happen. So you've only got one from the AAC.
In a way, that kind of helps you because these teams have less motivation, right? I mean, these, you know, Tulanes and UTSAs.
Less motivation.
Yeah, I mean.
What do you mean? You're the team to knock off.
Well, I mean, that's different. You know, it's
target
a different
on your back.
But, like, at least they're not all, like, they don't think they're going to the playoff. You know what I mean? So maybe one of the NIL guys checks out. I don't know. But it's basically you and the AAC. So it's just becoming clear, right? You and the AAC, Boise is still in the picture, UNLV is in the picture, NIU is in the picture, and Liberty. Those feel like the five. Those are the five teams. You have and week by week, those will drop off, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll lose one of those. If UNLV loses to anybody not named Boise State, they're out of the discussion.
Do you think a win at Navy next week solves, not that it, you know, you're solving it for good, but the attendance issue come 28th against Middle Tennessee.
I hope so, bro.
The places.
I hope so. I mean, like, there's really no excuse for that not to be packed out. I mean, weather.
I guess the question is then people jumping on now. More people jumping on what this season could be for Memphis now that they've seen Tigers go down Tallahassee.
And there's a good likelihood they'll be ranked.
I still think AP, I'm not going to clamor about it like we did when, you know, Memphis basketball was getting ranked, and Lord knows that didn't turn out well for us at all there last year. But that it feels like that's a Florida State that y'all had ranked top 10 in the country to start the year. And, yes, they look a mess, but that's Memphis still goes down there and, for the most part, dominates that game statistically.
Absolutely.
You know, as a, what, a 6-point underdog, 6.5-point underdog?
All right, here we go. FanDuel has odds on the playoff. I'm just now seeing them for the first time.
Good.
So let's see if we are indeed correct that Memphis has the inside track.
Well, they should. Yeah, I mean, them are. Yeah.
Wow. So even according to the betting markets, Memphis is still behind Boise State and Liberty, according to FanDuel. Boise State is plus 350. Liberty's plus 350. Memphis is plus 450.
I mean, it looks like is a good bet.
I mean, I'm just confused.
That's not advice.
I'm just confused how you get there. I mean, maybe with Liberty, just because, you know, their schedule is easier, fine. But how are you ahead,
behind Boise? You're not getting the credit from either the books or the AP voters for that win that you would have liked to have gotten.
Yeah, I guess they're just pricing in another L for Memphis at some point here, but I don't know. I don't know. Let's see where UNLV is 12-1. That feels mispriced. Because if that just comes down to beating Boise at home, obviously, UNLV is not going to be a plus 1,200 underdog to them in Vegas. I mean, so that's one that's interesting to me. But I just expected Memphis to be favored. I think they should be. I think this is wrong. Not saying that Memphis should be minus, you know, 230 or anything like that, like Tennessee. But I think, like, plus 250 feels right to me. So, I mean, I don't think that's a bad bet at plus 450, like you said. I mean, double-digit favorite against Navy, 100-point favorite against Middle Tennessee, slight favorite against USF, big favorite against North Texas, 100-point favorite against Charlotte. I don't know if you saw what happened in Charlotte this weekend. It was abominable. UTSA kind of letting go of the rope here. Rice sucks. UAB sucks. Tulane, two L's already. I mean, I think it's a fine bet. I mean, I think it's, you know, it was only what, plus 800 before the season started?
So it was.
And you're still getting plus 450. So I would advocate for that if you want a fun little sweat here, because these numbers for Memphis are going to be pretty big against the spread. So
Does a college football playoff appearance make Ryan attractive enough to turn it into a Power Four job?
Man, I mean, how could it not? Right? I mean,
well, you get some interviews.
Certainly.
Does it make him Norvell Fuente-ish?
I don't know how it does it. Now,
he will have had. I mean, obviously, you're not talking. He will have had to have won his first American if we're talking about college football playoff. Obviously,
but what?
So he'll finally have that.
No,
which has been a knock against him.
He's made some good hires, you know. I mean,
and I'm going to be honest. From what I've seen, he's killed transfer portal.
Done a great job with the portal
last two off seasons. Not just that, defended your own, you know, keeping Seth.
I think the lack of success from Fuente and Norvell might hurt him, though, depending on the job. Like, maybe it would be like a middling Power 5 job, but, I mean, it wouldn't be a big one.
I guess we are back to a Power 5 now. No, we're not.
It's still powerful. It's Power 5
even with
basketball.
Even with the new Pac-12, it's still going
to
be a Power 4.
Well, again, we need to see who is added. Blitz. But no,
bail.
We need to see, you know, it's Power Five basketball because of Big East, right? So it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird how you it's different. It's different power structure, you know, for different sports. But no, I mean, that's an interesting discussion. I mean, and it's obviously good one.
How could it matter? I mean, if we're talking about that, you might be talking about an undefeated season. That's going to make him attractive
from
somebody
from fired before, you know, as an interim
10 wins
to Power Four coach. Yeah.
Come on, what, 22, 23 wins?
Yeah,
two seasons? That's going to make you pretty sexy to other schools.
I mean, really, like, how can you, you know, you look around the country and you survey the landscape, there aren't going to be many better candidates with that, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, he's going to have
this level.
He's going to be right there at the front of the group of five.
I mean, so he would definitely.
As attractive as anybody.
Have offers, I have to believe. I don't know, but the problem is, like.
So Indiana last year that was supposedly interested, was it them?
Yeah, Indiana, yeah.
I thought so.
Who was awesome.
Well, they are.
They hired Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti. They beat UCLA 42-13.
UCLA sucks.
That's your boy, former Deshaun Panthers. Boston. Yeah.
Yes. who just fumbled the presser. It's been bad so far.
I guess running backs don't make good coaches, man.
Well, that can't all be true completely, but maybe.
I mean,
I'm trying to think about
Larry Porter.
Lord.
And then who is like the most. There's got to be a guy, right?
The best running back?
Yeah, there's got to be like a.
I'm thinking Tomlin was like a DB, wasn't he? Not a running back.
I'm looking it up.
I'm guessing that Tomlin was a DB.
Best coach that was a
running
back.
I think I know that Tomlin was a former DB.
Anthony Lynn, he was awful.
Lynn was terrible with the Chargers.
It's just not a great list. Yeah, dude, it's not great.
Eddie George at Tennessee State.
Yeah, what's his record?
No, we're not as good as Deion. Obviously, we hadn't left. We hadn't gotten a power job.
Dan Reeves. He was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 40, so I didn't realize. I mean, Dan Reeves old.
Now he was
Denver
an old
coach
fashion.
With the glasses. That would have been in the what, the 60s, 70s. He's running.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's for my time.
But he did play
Dan
the
Reeves
position.
Was a rookie.
Now again.
Dan Reeves was a good coach.
It's different when you play the position in the 60s, but he did play it.
Well, you may have stumbled upon something here. Running backs don't make good coaches.
Two-time AP NFL Coach of the Year. I don't want to generalize.
Well, you have.
Maybe they just don't get opportunities. I don't know. I don't know what the but I could also see a world where, like, you know, they don't they're just not in the playbook, you know, as much because they just have the two jobs, which is – run and block. I mean, it's just, I don't want to, it's, they're important. They're increasingly important.
There have to be we should get a group together, a help group for running backs that want to be coaches.
Yeah.
I think you have identified something here.
Was Eric Bieniemy a running back?
Oh, that, yes, he was a running back.
Bro, we just can't get anybody a job. I bet that hurts him.
He sure was a running back.
That hurts him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the explainer is.
Ditka was a tight end.
Yeah.
So it doesn't shoot.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But Brian was not a running back. So, you know, he could certainly do better than that.
What was he?
He was a
O-line?
I think I don't know what he played. He played something from somebody.
What Division 7?
Yeah, I think it was. He played
and that's what allowed him to be on the line.
He played in high school.
I knew it was like, but he played more than Taylor Jenkins.
No, sorry. Did. No, it's college prep. That count. That's high school.
It's more than Taylor Jenkins, I think.
The bowl school in Jacksonville. And then he joined the coaching staff as an assistant in 99. Silverfield is therefore notable as one of the only coaches in the FBS ranks to have never played college football. So, I thought he would have played somewhere. He played high school, but that's different, I suppose.
That's like Taylor. He's one of the few that,
right.
You know.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know if it's few that didn't play, but it's up. You know, he didn't play, like, on a very high organized level at all, did he?
Taylor didn't play high school?
Maybe.
Yeah.
About as much as me and you.
That's right.
No, I think they're my... And they hired him as an intern as a favorite of family down in San Antonio. Like, he wasn't some basketball savant, was he?
I don't think so.
He's made himself into what he is.
Yeah. That's kind of nuts to just wind up.
Silverfield might turn this thing into I don't know. Who's got the hottest seat? He's going to be down at Florida? Silverfield going to get the Florida job.
Yeah. I mean, he could.
Come on, bro.
He really could, bro. He really could. I don't know who their candidates would be. Who's going to Florida?
I'm sorry. I'm going to need some time.
If they go to the playoffs.
I understand. I'm still going to need some time to digest it.
I mean, if I'm Florida, I would look into it.
Florida's top candidate?
I'm not saying top, but you know they're going to get some no's. You know they are. Just after because of their lack of success. The SEC's harder than ever with Texas now. I mean, they're going to get – you know who they're going to go after? They're going to go after Lane Kiffin. Is Lane Kiffin going to go?
I mean, at some point, he tops out at Ole Miss.
I agree.
I think he's right there.
But if he...
You're not keeping him forever.
They've kept him longer than I thought they would.
1,000%.
Brad can't every wait for Lane to leave Ole Miss.
Every year they got him right now.
They
can't even
put up 20 against Toledo. So if Brad's counting down the days like he's in prison on the wall.
Toledo from the smack up of Northern Illinois. You'll see.
Yeah, we need it. We need it. But that's the weekend. Memphis football gets... I don't know if I'd call it the best win. I wouldn't call it the most memorable.
It was a great performance,
but it was one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen from a Memphis team. I mean, that I can remember, because even when it was Norvell, that's not how they were winning, right? They were winning just by putting up 50 points. That was like,
dude, they were hitting dudes.
Exactly. That was like old fashioned football,
them down,
bro.
Man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's a whole different attitude, you know, Hankins, and then having Martin. And you really developed him.
Yes, you
and,
did.
And again, that's your guy because you were linebacker's coach.
Yep.
You know, Chandler Martin. And that story is just special.
Yep. Yep. So, anyway, nice day, nice weekend for University of Memphis football as they go into Tallahassee, set the tone, and punch him in the mouth. It was an awesome day. And Memphis, again, we'll see. We'll revisit this week after week, but have put themselves in a real position to be headed to the college football playoff as of September 16th. We'll come back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
It's a great NFL weekend, a little bit of wacky. You got another chance to cash in tonight with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets. That's guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. You got Falcons versus Eagles. I need a big one for Saquon Barkley just for fantasy purposes, but obviously he had a great first week. He's going to go over-under on the rushing yards. Kyle Pitts, anytime touchdown. A.J. Brown over on the receiving yards. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to make every moment more this season. Put together a little same-game parlay, turn a couple bucks into a tank of gas or more. It's only on FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-drawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. A.J. Brown will not play, I saw tonight. He is out. So you won't be doing anything with A.J. Brown. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Memphis football coach is...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Speaking now to the media, he reiterates that this was a great and historic win for Memphis. And it is. I mean... It's not very often that they win versus Power Four opponents on the road. I mean, I'm not counting Kansas in 2015. I just refuse to do it. That Kansas team was just, they almost existed on their own. So you got to go back to 2004, Ole Miss, to start the season. So it's been 20 years since Memphis did that. So that's why it is historic. I mean, it also, again, keeps you in great position for the college football playoff. He did have an update on Elijah Herring, the leading tackler for the University of Memphis.
Please. What was it?
I say update. He says they are still evaluating Elijah Herring.
Oh.
So he is...
I was looking. Do we even know the nature of it?
We do not.
I tried, and then I thought, okay, I'm not going to dig through every minute of this presser. I looked through all the articles, and I've just assumed that he's doing what he does when it comes to injuries. He's sort of like the Grizzlies, man. You just don't know. And there's probably, for the opposition, that's great.
Yeah.
For us here to talk about it, and
right.
We've talked about how impactful Elijah Herring's been, you know.
Yeah.
You'd like to have him. It is a good sign for your defense, though, that you can go down to Tallahassee, get that win without him. That's a sign of major improvement.
Yeah, he was clearly...
Kobe Minor, all those guys were out there. So, I mean, it wasn't just... I shouldn't just say Chandler Martin. That was a fantastic defensive effort by the whole group.
Team defense.
Yes, man.
Bryce Edmondson is the backup. And Silverfield seemed very happy with him on Saturday. So, yeah, I mean, in a game like this, you know, all hands on deck is really what you need. I mean, obviously, Memphis has shown that they can do it without, but we know the Rubik's Cube that Navy tends to be, not just for, you know, Memphis, although, I mean, I feel like Memphis's history with Navy is so checkered. Like, I just always feel like those games are close for the most part. I know Silverfield, didn't he lose there in 2020?
Yeah, but isn't that his only loss to him?
I think so. Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe they won.
I want to tell you.
No, they won 10-7. That's what it was. They won 10-7. I don't know why I had that as an L. Silverfield, I apologize, my man. But that was 10-7. I think they were just big favorites, and it was closer maybe than people expected. So it was 10-7 there. It was 28-24 last year at Memphis was a 12-point favorite, and they actually were losing after the first quarter. Memphis was 14-7. But that was a different defense. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And this defense has shown that it is significantly better. Now, again, what Navy likes to do is just it's Confucius with what that triple option. And it can bring the best defense to its knees if you don't execute. But it does seem like in recent years, Memphis has figured it out a little better than they once did.
Well, they got better players. And, I mean, it's 100th. They're ranked 100th right now. Navy at 2-0 is ranked 100th in offense over at SP+. So your point is the key. It's the scheme, but it's not so much the players
right. Or
the talent level. And it's something certainly in a year where you've got, you know, expectations to win the conference, hopes of going on to the college football playoff. This is a year where you hope to handle Navy, quite frankly.
Exactly.
Hopefully it's that. Hopefully it's a double-digit win. I could see it being, again, coming off a win as impressive as that was, and as emotional and as accomplished as
yeah.
you feel
yeah.
coming out of Tallahassee. You could see a letdown, but even in letdown, hopefully you're handling a team like this. This is not your... And not your typical, you know, jump up and bite you and stub your, you know, toe on Navy team here.
Exactly.
This should be one that you handle with what you've got, you know, with what
yes.
you've got in terms of talent and everything else.
Yeah. I would really like to see that, that video game offense at some point, you know, but maybe it's just not, maybe that's just not who they are. I mean, they took what Florida State kind of gave them. They had that one downfield shot to rock, mm-hmm. I think, in the second quarter, maybe. But, I mean, look, they made big-time plays. The tight end, was it Doyle? Had a couple of big catches, for Memphis just moving the chains. And, You know, it really doesn't. I mean, if the defense can't stop you, it doesn't have to be something exotic, right? I mean, I know we like that. We like the 60-yard plays, but you know, if they're giving you 12 to 14 a pop, take what they give you, and that's kind of what Memphis did against Florida State. And it was, that's the crazy part about it, is that Memphis just knew that it would be able to do enough, and it wouldn't have to get, you know, that creative. They would just beat you. Line up, we're going to beat you.
That's what I was hoping would be the case, that maybe just, you know, your basic is good enough. Now, we can't sit up here and say you controlled the you know, that defensive line with your ground game.
Right.
Really, honestly, Seth, when he had to make plays, did.
Yep.
And you did it essentially without a run game. So it's a credit that the offense was able to sort of grind it out and score enough points in that game.
Yep.
It really was. But, no, it'd be – listen, the loss of Sutton Smith is real. Like, there's no – sort of minimizing
mm-hmm.
how impactful most had, you know, he was expected to be this season. And I think that's why you saw him to start the year. Remember, it was an and-or situation with him and yes. Mario Anderson. This wasn't a year where you go into, you know, the year you say Mario Anderson's number one.